And we're going to be starting a new tithes and offerings series, and it's called The Joy of Receiving and Giving. And you notice that the joy of receiving is highlighted because that's what we're going to be looking at first. Because how many people know, unless you have something to give, you can't give, right? So we have to receive. And I loved this. I was looking for pictures of people receiving, and I was like, oh my goodness, I know that the shoebox blessing, they have all these amazing pictures of kids receiving the shoeboxes. So if you can kind of see, all these are different countries where kids are opening up their shoeboxes and they're discovering all the things that we've put inside. And I love the look on their faces. Can you see their faces this morning? It's just pure joy. Pure joy. And that's what they're doing. It's the joy of receiving. Amen? And in James 1:17, it says, every good and perfect gift. Somebody say good. Somebody say perfect. So these are not leftovers. They're not less than. They're not imperfect. They're not hand-me-downs. They are good and perfect gifts. Say it again. Good and perfect. They are good and perfect gifts. And where are they coming from? They're coming from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change with variation. I love that. Every good and perfect gift is from the Father above, who does not change. Wait, every good and perfect gift is from above, from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change. That's the version I learned it in. Who does not change, but there's another one that says, or have a variation of shadows. What does that mean? That means he doesn't give you a good gift one day, and the next day he gives you something bad. There's a lot of people that believe God is just waiting to do something terrible in their lives. He's just waiting to dump something on, for them to just make one mistake, and then he's going to lower the boom. That's not what the Bible says. And I don't know about you, I'd rather know what the Word of God says than what great-grandma or great-aunt Betsy said. Amen? I'd rather know what the Word of God says than a coworker that's telling me something that they learned from an experience they had. I'd rather know what the Word of God says, because the Word is the truth. So when someone tells you, oh, that was God doing that to you, and it was something that was not good or something that was not perfect, you have to look them in the face and say, that is contrary to the Word of God. The truth is, he gives good and perfect gifts. Now, when we packed our shoeboxes and all of you gave finances and brought things in, how horrible would it be? I mean, who would even dream of doing this, of filling a box with terrible things for a kid to open? With toys that have been battered and torn apart, with things that stink, with clothing that has a smell, with stuffed animals that are pulled apart and missing an ear or a leg. Would we do that to a child? Would you do that? No. So why would you think your Heavenly Father would do that to you? We're not perfect, right? But he is perfect. And if we, in our imperfections, want to give good gifts to people and fill boxes with treasures for kids to receive, how much more your Heavenly Father for you? Say, I have a good Father who gives good gifts. I have a perfect Father who gives perfect gifts. Now, how do we receive those? Because sometimes, well, not sometimes, a lot of the time, it is so easy to give, right? It just thrills your heart to give to people. Amen? But sometimes it's difficult to receive things. Our women's conference this past year, the ladies just literally blessed my socks off at the end of the conference. But for me, I love going around finding deals. And by the way, girls, God is so good. I have already gotten things for next year's women's conference. Yes, yes. And I told the Lord that I didn't want to get the same things I've been getting for our fall decor. And I walk into Fred Meyer's, and I kid you not, yesterday, well, no, Thursday or Friday. I walk in on Friday, and we walk up, and there is an entire section of fall things 90% off. 90% off at Fred Meyer's. I have never seen Fred Meyer's go 90%. But I will tell you what I did see. Carts filled with gifts for all of you. I went to leave the store. You know, they check your receipts now. And the young man that was there, I see him a lot because I shop there a lot. And I told him as I walked up, I said, "You're not going to believe the receipt today." And he goes, "Really?" Because I buy a lot of cereal. So there's, you know, long receipts. And I went like this. And it went. And he goes, "What in the world?" And he got down to the bottom. And he goes, "You only paid that for all of this?" I said, "Yeah, look at how much I saved. It was over $1,000. I told him, "I do kind of feel like I'm stealing a little bit as you're standing there, you know." But those are good gifts, right? And it was so exciting and so much fun for me to gather them for you. But I'll tell you how much it blessed me to receive as well. Amen? There is such a blessing when we can receive. And when we receive, we shouldn't go, "Oh, man, I don't deserve that. I don't." No, you see these faces up here? He says to come to him as a little what? Child. You see these faces up here? Do you think any of them are like, "Oh, I don't deserve this box filled with treasures. I don't deserve this. I'm not worthy of this." No, they're in there. Ooh, what about, what's in there? What's down there? What's next? You can see their eyes are lit up, right? When you receive from the Lord, that is what you should look like. And are they keeping it to themselves? No, you can see there's others that are gathered around looking inside the box with them. They're sharing the blessing. They are sharing the excitement and the joy of receiving. Why is it so important for us to share when we receive? Because you are sharing the joy. You're reminding people around you that, hey, you can enter contests and you can win. You can enter contests. I mean, I don't know how many texts Elaine sent out, but there were a lot of texts. He was sharing the joy. Amen? And when someone in your life receives something and they are joyful, get on board the joyful boat. Don't sit there and say, "Well, how come they did and I didn't?" You know, I tell my kids, I've told the kids in my children's class for years, if you have that attitude, God can't bless you. You're holding your own blessing back because of your attitude. When someone's rejoicing, it says we are supposed to rejoice with them. Amen? Amen? God has gifts for us. This is a season of gifts, but even more so, it is a season of supernatural gifts that I believe the Lord wants to give to you. And you should not be going, "No, I don't deserve." You say, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus." And then you get on the phone and you tell everybody that you know about the gift you have received and you spread the joy. Amen? Are you ready for this tithes and offerings series? This is going to be a good one. Don't miss it. Amen? Grab your tithes and offerings this morning. Father, we just thank you that you are the one who gives good gifts. And how awesome that it is that we are your children. Woo! I am so grateful, Father, that you have gifts that we've never even thought about in store for us. Gifts that we've only maybe dreamed about. Maybe they're in the back of our minds of, "Well, I don't know. Maybe, is it okay to ask for that?" Today, Father, I believe that you're saying, "Ask of me. Ask of me. I want to pour out blessings that you cannot contain." And so, Father, during this season that we celebrate the ultimate gift of your Son, I just pray, Father, we'd remind ourselves that you are not a one-time giver. You are not a one-time giver. And I pray, Father, that we'd be ready to receive the boxes of treasures that you have for us, and that we would receive them with joy. Because I know, Father, as we receive with joy, it brings joy to your heart. And I pray, Father, today for every person in this room, that you would tear off the wrapping of tradition. You would tear off the wrapping of shame. You would tear off the wrapping of, I don't deserve this, or tear off all the things that would hold us back, Father, so that we can be childlike again and receive the gifts that you have for us with joy. We praise you for this day. Bless every seed that is sown and bless the sower. Bless our entire service in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen.
Hallelujah. Just stretch your hands out toward the giving baskets and let's make a statement of faith. Just say, I believe, I receive the blessing of God on my finances. Harvesting angels, I send you out to the north, south, east, and west. I call in my harvest. I receive raises, bonuses, inheritances, increase, the blessing of God manifesting in every area of my life. And most of all, Father, use my giving to get the gospel preached around the world. Someone else can be saved, delivered, and healed. In Jesus' name, somebody shout amen. Amen. Amen and amen. Thank you, everybody. Give God a great big shout this morning. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I am blessed. I am a receiver. It's one thing, I got to meet Oral Roberts once years ago back at New Beginnings. Boy, what a treat that was to hear him speak in person. And in the back, he was in the back in kind of the green room, and I had his autobiography, and I asked him to sign it. Evelyn was right there next to him, and she was smiling at me because I worked with the children. I had my children's service ministry name tag on, and she had been a teacher for a lot of years. So she was all happy that I was there, and he was signing my book. And he wrote in my book, he said, Steve, always be a giver and a receiver. Right? Somebody say, I'm a receiver too. And he used a scripture out of Philippians. But what a joy. Right? To remember that we don't give religiously, and I appreciate Shelley's teaching week in and week out about this. There's a reason why we do that, why we don't just kind of sheepishly pass around the buckets and don't say nothing. No, there's intentional teaching going on in regards to the purpose. How many know there needs to be a purpose behind everything we do, right? And that's why we were able to give 50 shoeboxes that are going to go all over the world and 638 pounds of food. I mean, that's amazing, right? And meet in this beautiful place every week. I mean, what a mighty God we serve. Hallelujah. And this is the time of the year we celebrate that and recall it even more. Somebody say, even more. As the day gets closer to his return, I will get closer to him even more. The devil thinks he's had enough. Well, guess what? There's going to be even more. Even more people getting saved, right? Even bigger and nicer buildings and properties and vehicles and ministries. Even more of your family coming to Christ. Even more miracles. If the devil thinks he's had all he can take, there's going to be even more until he's clean, kicked off the planet forever. That's the family I'm in. I don't know about you. I mean, John Wayne's in heaven. Come on. Right? You think the devil's getting off easy? Pilgrim, right? Oh, praise the Lord. We can click to the next slide, I think, Lacey. Thank you. And Shelley used that beautiful, those pictures of children. And that's what the Lord gave me for our Christmas teaching this year. Let's pray. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for giving us eyes to see. Somebody say, I have eyes to see. And I have ears to hear. What the Spirit would say to me today. And we give you all the praise and the glory. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for sending Jesus to be born of a virgin. We believe it. To raise up, live a sinless life. We believe it. To die on a cross. We believe it for our sins. We believe it. And 3 days later to be raised again. We believe it. And then just not much longer, send the Holy Ghost to baptize us. We believe it. And then in just a few short days, you're coming back to get us. We believe it. And then a few short days later, we'll come back to rule and reign on this planet. We believe it. Somebody say, and I receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. I think there's a little extra joy in the room because Pastor Jerry's here today. He brings the joy with him. Hallelujah. Well, this message titled, The Gift, I felt like the Lord gave me that phrase as I was seeking him earlier in the fall about where to teach this particular couple. I don't know if we'll have two or three of these messages, but I felt the phrase, the gift, came to me, right? That he is, somebody say, he is the gift, right? Jesus is the gift. Hallelujah. The gift that keeps on giving. Glory to his name forevermore. But our foundation text will be Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1. And I'm going to move kind of rapidly today because we have a party. Hallelujah. How many know heaven's going to be a party? You think anybody right now in heaven is depressed or worried or in strife or in the ER? Right? No. Somebody say no, not one. Somebody say not one. And he says we should live on earth as it is in heaven. So I think we need to all be studying more and more about how it is in heaven. And then just believe that that's how it is. Somebody say it is. Not it will be. It is. Didn't God call himself I am? Not I will be. Not I was. The Holy Ghost is taking over this flight right now. But Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1. Somebody know Isaiah is a prophet. A prophet of God. And he was married to a prophetess of God. Hallelujah. And he says, arise, shine. Somebody say shine. For your light has come. That's why I liked this picture. I was searching out for pictures. And this little kid opening the gift and the light. And it brings this, you can see the joy on that little kid's face. How many know we need to have childlike faith? I mean, if the book says the man was swallowed by a fish and the fish spit him out 3 days later and he went and preached and a city got saved. Or if the book says a man raised a staff over a sea and a sea parted and thousands of people walked through it. If the book says a man died on a cross and dead, graveyard dead. And 3 days later, he came out of that grave. How many know it takes childlike faith to believe that? Hallelujah. Somebody say, I got it. I got it. Now, the book does say we put childish ways behind us, but there's differences there. There's uniquenesses. Somebody say, stay childlike in your faith, but put immaturity behind you. Wise as a serpent and gentle as a dove. Glory to God, right? So the prophet says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord. Somebody say, the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Glory to his name forevermore. And I wanted to talk briefly about Hanukkah this morning, because Hanukkah is the festival of lights. And Jesus celebrated Hanukkah. It says in John 10:22, I'm jumping ahead to point C there if you have the notes, but John 10:22, it says, now it was the feast of dedication. Somebody say the feast of dedication, right? In Jerusalem, and it was winter, right? And Jesus walked in the temple and Solomon's porch. Now we've studied and taught about spring feasts and fall feasts. This is a winter feast that Jesus celebrated, and it is Hanukkah that he's celebrating right there. Right? And it means festival of lights and feast of dedication. And I want to read to you a few things out of this article that I found on a website called Christians for Israel International. How many know Christians should be for Israel? Right? There should be no anti-Semitism in the body of Christ. Absolutely not. Wasn't that Hitler's problem? Right? And it didn't go well for Hitler, did it? Right? Amen. But this Festival of Lights, this is written by an author named, I'll try to pronounce his name. He's from the Netherlands. And his name is pronounced Kees de, I did write it out here, Vrugd, I think is how it's actually pronounced. But it says, on the streets in Jerusalem and Jewish homes, and by the way, Hanukkah begins this year, Christmas night. So sundown, the 25th, for 8 days, is the festival of Hanukkah. So that's kind of a cool thing to remember, right? And on the streets of Jerusalem and Jewish homes, and even in many cities worldwide, Hanukkah lights are kindled. Somebody say light, right? The first night, one light. The second night, two lights, and so on, until the last night, 8 candles are burning. Somebody say 8, right? The Bible is so, you look at numbers in the Bible, you don't get too crazy in the numerology, but when you see the word 8, automatically I think 8,000 years. To God, a day is as 1,000 years. On the Jewish calendar, we're right at about 5,000, I think it was 5,884 or something is the year we're in. So at the conclusion of the 6th day, God time, is when the reign of Christ begins on planet Earth, the 7th day. You following me? Right? So when it talks about 8 is the beginning of, that's post-judgment day. That's the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles, if you study these things out. And this, it's all symbolic, is what I'm saying. It's all prophetic and symbolic. It's completion. 8 means a new beginning. It's actually the complete absence of all evil. Judgment day has happened. It's a new beginning. God and his family is all that is left. Like when you read about Noah's Ark, you should see this throughout the Bible. When you read about Noah's Ark and it says it came to a point that Noah and his family were all that was left. And guess how many human beings there were on the ark? 8. There's going to come a point where all that's left is God and his family. Somebody say forever. So these are important things to know and understand as Christians. Not just brush it as, that's Jewish, that's Judaism. No. Now make sure if you're looking up, you know, these types of things, make sure you use the word messianic in your searches, right? Because it's important that Jesus Christ is Lord of everything. Amen. It says the ritual is simple. As the lighting of the candle, a blessing is said commemorating the miracle of Hanukkah. They sing a hymn that's entitled Solid Rock of My Salvation. And it's become accustomed to eat a certain type of donut baked in oil, referring to the miracle of oil. See, oil is symbolic in this. Hanukkah celebrates the rededication. Somebody say rededication of the temple. Now we know post-resurrection, somebody say I, am the temple of God. So it's a great time to dedicate ourselves, make a fresh dedication to Jesus, a fresh dedication to serve him. Keith Moore was teaching this past week, and he uses an acronym. He was talking about people who have a loved one that went on to be with heaven, right? And he uses the acronym FTD, like the flowers. He said if someone is, and you're missing them, and you're so grieved and remembering, it's full of sorrow, he says the F would stand for focus. Focus on where they are today, right? The T, and you know, rejoice. They're rejoicing before the Lord, right? If they're in God's family, they're in heaven, we know where they are, we're going to see them again, right? And then the T stands for thanksgiving. Be thankful for all the time that you had with them. Rejoice and thank God for the time that you had with them. And then the D stands for dedication. Use that as a springboard to dedicate your life to serve Jesus every day. Hallelujah. I mean, these are great things to remember, right? And Hanukkah reminds us to shine for Jesus and dedicate yourself to serving him every day. The history is described in the books of Maccabees. It happened in 167 BC. The Greek king, I won't try to pronounce his name, but he was evil, who ruled over Israel, placed an abomination of desolation that talks about in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, in the temple in Jerusalem. And now again, this is happening somewhere between Malachi and Matthew. This whole thing is happening, right? A statue for the Greek deity Zeus. He also had pigs sacrificed on the altar in an unparalleled attempt to assimilate the Jewish people into the... Have we heard any of this in recent history in our own nation? Assimilate! Forget about God. Forget about faith. Forget about the Bible. Assimilate or you will be judged and removed. That's been... I mean, we dealt with that in recent history right here. Right? It's a spirit. It's a demon spirit, right? And they said, study of the Torah, which is the first five books of the Bible, study of the Torah was forbidden during that time, right? The site in Jerusalem, among which many priests had already adopted Greek culture, so a lot of even the priests were changing with the culture. Have we heard this recently? Culture is king. Oh, no, it isn't. Jesus. Somebody say, Jesus is king. I don't change with the culture. I set the culture. Glory to God. But the people in the land resisted. Now, they also had priest farmers. Now, this is something the Holy Ghost is showing me. He said priest farmers started a revolt. You know what that reminds me of? Somebody say, bivocational pastors. For now, right? Priest farmers in the city started a revolt against the Greeks. Under the leadership of Judas Maccabees, the Jewish people succeeded in taking over Jerusalem and expelling Greeks from the city. The temple was purified. Somebody say purification, right? From idolatry. And the same date it was desecrated, the 25th of whatever that month was, the altar was rededicated. Somebody say rededicated. The celebration of rededication took 8 days. Somebody say, this is a celebration of rededication. 8 days. Somebody say, get right so you don't get left. Amen. Just like the 8 days of the Feast of Tabernacles. See, the Feast of Tabernacles, we referred to that a moment ago, is an 8-day feast. Why? Because it reminds us a new beginning is coming when the only ones that will be left are God and his family forever. Glory to God forevermore. And like the original dedication of the first temple, the temple was ornamented with crowns and bosses of gold and abundantly lit. Somebody say abundantly lit. Christians ought not be hiding our light. We should be abundantly lit. There's a lot of commercials right now when I'm watching football games that talk about people getting abundantly lit with whiskey and Coors. Or sexual sins, getting just abundantly lit up for the devil. Somebody say, the church ain't doing that. We're revolting against the devil's reviling. And we're choosing Jesus Christ. We're dedicating ourselves to him. Hallelujah. And this place where we meet, this time that we meet. Hallelujah. Glory to his name forevermore. Somebody say, I am abundantly lit for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I am not ashamed. Because that's what the world does. Shame on you. Oh, shame on you. You white Christian nationalist. Or whatever they call you, right? Right? Somebody say, no, it ain't right. I'm turning to the right in the name of Jesus. I had another dream the other day. We were having church, and there was a lot of people. And it was a different building. And I was ready to preach. And it was capacity all the way to the back on the right side. The left side was maybe close to half. And I was sharing that with Lindsay the other day. And she goes, what side was not packed all the way in? The left. But they were there. Hallelujah. Somebody say, they were there. There's an awakening going on in the body of Christ. Isn't that interesting? The things that the Lord shows us. If you have a dream like that, don't just, that was just a dream. Think about it. Ask the Lord about it. Because it might have just been God. And we might want to get up at 3 a.m. and get your phone out and make a notes page just for dreams you get. And type it because you'll start forgetting it. Right? Because that might have been something for your family, something for your business, something for whatever. Be ready. Somebody say, we serve a supernatural God. And he doesn't go to sleep. Hallelujah. Jesus, too, celebrated the Feast of Dedication in the temple. We just looked at that. The Talmud relates the story. It's a Jewish teaching. Relates a story that when they entered the temple, they wanted to light the menorah, the seven-branched candelabra, but no oil was ritually fit for the menorah. Finally, however, they found a small jar ritually of pure oil. Somebody say, I'm the jar. I'm the jar. I am filled with the pure oil. Unadulterated, pure Holy Ghost. Just enough for one day. Somebody say, I've got enough for today. This is the day the Lord has made. Today is the day of salvation. I don't got to be sweating about tomorrow or grieving about yesterday. I'm filled. Somebody say, I'm filled with plenty for today. However, a miracle occurred. The menorah burnt for 8 days. This is historic, you know, amazing miracle right here. The menorah burnt for 8 days on this small amount. Somebody say, I'm going to outlast the devil. See, the devil, that's because he don't quit either. If you haven't noticed, he's unrelenting. That's what I think Brother Hagin said once. If one thing we can compliment on him, he's an unrelenting cuss or something like that. He just keeps at it. Somebody say, I'm going to outlast the devil. I'm going to outlast him. And that's what you got to talk to your issues. You know what? Sickness. You know what? Sin problem. You know what? Worry. I feel your pressure, but I am going to outlast you. Hallelujah. And guess what? All I need is oil enough for today. And it will last for get me into the 8,000 years. Because this is a supernatural substance we're dealing with. Somebody say, little dabble, do you? Right? And this was long enough to produce, somebody say produce, new oil, new pure oil. Somebody say, I'm a producer for Jesus. Hallelujah. The word Hanukkah means dedication. Hanukkah is not just about lighting candles. It's about dedicating and rededicating oneself to a life by God's word. Somebody say, God's word. I'm dedicated to a life of study. And not just hearing, but doing what I know to do in God's word. It is a Jewish thought that every human being is supposed to make himself a temple. Somebody say, that sounds right. Somebody say, I'm a temple of the Holy Ghost. He rules in me. A sanctuary by learning the values of God's word. You know, even Jesus had to grow up and learn. Right? Because he didn't come in this world as God. He laid aside his divinity and had to grow up in Mary and Joseph's home and be taught by the rabbis and go to school, but with no sin. But he had to learn. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I'm all about learning. See, a lot of people just want to skip the work and get right to the miracles. Just throw some oil on me, wave a wand over me. Right? Just speak something over my life. No, you have to get this word into your heart abundantly so that it comes out of your mouth abundantly. Amen. And that takes time. Time with Jesus. Putting away the distractions of this life. That's what dedication is all about. If you learn about people that are like in the Olympics or an athlete, they train and they train. It might be their birthday and they're training. Right? Amen. We got to take this thing to the next. Somebody say, take it up a notch. Take it up a notch. Wherever you are, take it up a notch. Hallelujah. Every human being is to make himself a temple, a sanctuary. Somebody say, I'm a temple of the Holy Ghost. I'm a sanctuary of the Most High God. I was at work once years ago in the break room, and they were talking a bunch of foolishness, and I said something Christian, and the lady said, save it for church. And I said, I am the church. Just came out. Somebody say, I am the church. In this way, we spread light into the world. Hallelujah. Somebody say, you can't put my light out, devil. You cannot shut me down. You cannot cover me up. You cannot turn me off. I'm going to shine brightly in a dark world. That's why this time of the year, Hanukkah is celebrated also symbolically, because it's the time of the year where it's dark the most. I mean, it's dark at 4:30 right now, and 3 if it's cloudy around here, right? And we put up Christmas lights. This is awesome. And lights on the Christmas tree. All of it is symbolic to shine. Somebody say, shine, 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 shine for Jesus. Glory to his name, for because he is the light. But he's put his light in you. Somebody say, I receive it today. This is how Israel understands her own being in the world. Hallelujah. And this year, Hanukkah will be celebrated beginning on Christmas night, December 25th. I would encourage everybody to think about getting some kind of a menorah. Order one in previous years, because sometimes I just kind of forget. Oh, tonight's, it's the third night already. And I've even in my devotional, I'll just make a little picture of one in my devotional. Every night at about sundown, I'll color in another light. Amen? But maybe there's a telephone app you can get if you're busy and just, oh, it's time to light the next candle. And let's do it. Somebody say, let's do it. As a symbol of rededicating ourselves to Jesus and being about spreading the light. The middle light, I remember Pastor Huck teaching this years ago. The middle light, there's an 8th candle in the Hanukkah menorah, and it's called the servant candle. And it lights every other candle. It's symbolic of Jesus. Somebody say, light me up, Lord. Hallelujah. Isn't this glorious? Right? And remember to pray for Israel. Oh, man. Pray for the nation of Israel to be saved. Hallelujah. In John chapter 1, we won't read the entire chapter, but turn there for just a minute. Says this, in the beginning, the Word, somebody say the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word, this is capital W, in the beginning was the Word, that's inferring Jesus, right? Somebody say he is the Word, right? And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things are made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light. Somebody say the light of men. I would encourage you to read the whole chapter this week. Somebody say, he is the light. He's the light of my life. And this week's Torah portion, talking about Israel, I was listening to Rabbi Joseph Shulam. He did a whole YouTube thing, like in 2020 or something. And so every week, he takes about 10 or 20 minutes and just kind of elaborates from a Jewish, Messianic Jewish rabbi mindset on the subject matter of that Torah. This week's was the term taldot. Somebody say taldot. And that is Hebrew for genealogy or history. And it was specifically emphasizing the birth of Jacob and Esau. Right? But he also talked about that this specific word, the Hebrew language, is a very small language. It only had, I think he said, like about 22,000 words in the ancient world. And even nowadays, I think he said it only has around 70,000 words. But this specific word, taldot, means in Hebrew, genealogy or history. And he talked about two places in the Bible where the way it is used, it is the only way it is used at all in the Bible. And those two places are Genesis chapter 5, verse 1, where it talks about the genealogy of Adam. And the rabbi got all excited. He's like, Adam has no genealogy, folks. In other words, straight from God. Adam. I mean, if we want to blame somebody for the issues of the world, how many know we all came from the same parents, right? But the other place, somebody say the other place. Say the other place. I can't hear you. The other place, because the rabbi got really, he even said, bang! Right? The other place, this particular way this word is used, only one of two places. The other place is in Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, where it talks about the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Somebody say, straight from God. The beginning of a new race, the born-again race. Hallelujah. Aren't these things glorious? And he is the light, and we should dedicate ourselves to him every day. I'm not saying get born again and born again and born. You're born again, right? But dedication is another level. Hallelujah. I mean, there's a lot of guys on these football teams, but some of them are just at another level. Because they're dedicated more to work, to the work ethic. Amen? And we have to be people that are dedicated to God's word, God's holy word, God's holy word. God, the word is what dedicates us. Hallelujah. And the word dedicate, I almost flew right past this, means things like to set apart, to consecrate to a sacred purpose, to set apart or consecrate to a sacred purpose, to devote wholly, W-H-O-L-L-Y. Somebody say, put your whole self in. Don't be a hokey-pokey Christian, right? I got my right foot in. I take my right foot out. On Sunday, I'm in, but on Monday, my head is out. No. Somebody say, put your whole self in. Holy. If I put myself in holy, then I will be holy. Amen, right? Glory to God forevermore. I mean, if I just wash a dish holy or half, you know, like what I made the bacon on yesterday, and if I just wash the lower part of it, that's good enough. Somebody say, that ain't good enough. You need to wash it holy, complete immersion. Oh, it means to inscribe as a personal signature upon. Like when someone's dedicating a book, what Oral Roberts did to me, he autographed it, and it was so cool, right? Somebody say, I'm dedicated to Jesus. And if we dedicate ourselves to him, he will put his signature on your life. I don't know about you, that's what I'm looking for. Because angels are looking for people when the rapture comes that have that signature on their head. To mark the official completion or opening of dedication. To set aside or assign for a specific function, task, or purpose. How many know you? Somebody say me. Somebody say I. I have a specific function, task, and purpose before God. And I will fulfill it. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to his name forevermore. Praise his holy name. And in verse 12 in John chapter 1, it says this, as many as received him, somebody say that's me, to them he gave the right to become children of God. We can go ahead and give Shelley the 5-minute warning if anyone's got that assignment. I told her I promised I wouldn't go long today. The Holy Ghost is doing it. As many as received him, to them, somebody say, to them. Somebody say, I'm them. He gave the right to become the children of God. Somebody say, the gift. I mean, if that ain't the gift, I don't know what the gift is. You're a child of the living God. And you have privileges. And, see, a lot of people like the privileges. And responsibilities in the household of faith. Somebody say glory to his name. To those who believe in his name, somebody say that's me. And finally, we'll close with these three verses, sharing the gift of Jesus. Sharing the gift of Jesus. How many know Jesus is the one gift you can keep giving and you'll never run out? Somebody say, I will never run out because I'm running over. I will never run out. Have you ever met somebody who just doesn't seem to run out of profanity or negativity or fear? And it just keeps running out of their mouth. Well, we, as the body of Christ, we have the great privilege and responsibility of being so full of him that he just runs out of us. I had a lady once, I was in business, and I showed up at her house to do a job. It was a long drive, and I was worshiping God, just listening to praise music and worshiping the Lord. And she goes, "What is it with you? You're like glowing." And I said, "Well, I've been worshiping God all the way here." And she changed the subject immediately. She didn't want to talk about that. But she saw it. Somebody say, she saw it. A seed was sown that day. I didn't have to preach to her. She saw it. Woo! Okay, so 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6 says this. For it is God, somebody say, it is God, who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Now, if we have one assignment as a church, it is this: give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Not give the culture. To show forth the culture. Oh, no, 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 no. Give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Somebody say glory to his name forevermore. We will spend time face to face with God, fellowshipping. And when you come out, you'll be like Moses and you'll be glowing. And his ray, I mean, just that light shining out from on the inside of you. And don't be surprised if some people don't want to see it. And right now, God has given me a great example because I almost can't see the back row because the light off the floor is so bright right now that literally I'm seeing spots. I'm telling you, that's God saying amen to what we're doing. Hallelujah. I have to squint to see you right now. Glory to his name forevermore. Matthew 5, 14 through 16 says this. You are the light of the world. Somebody say, I'm the light of the world. I thought Jesus was the light. I thought he was supposed to do it all. Well, guess what? He has delegated his authority to his people. I am the light of the world. You are the light. This is him talking. Jesus is talking. Well, Pastor Steve, he was talking to Peter and Paul and John. But he was also talking to Judas. How many know Judas wasn't all in? No. Somebody say, he's talking about me. He's talking about the body of Christ. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Somebody say, stop hiding. This is not hide and seek. Right? Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Somebody say hallelujah. He's going to use you and light you up to shine so bright and point people up. Hallelujah. And finally, 1 John 1:7, for if we walk in the light, somebody say, I walk in the light, as he is in the light. We have fellowship. Somebody say fellowship. It's another gift, fellowship. How many know fellowship is a gift? There's a lot of born-again people that are born again, but they have no fellowship. Because when you're not walking in the light, that's what you miss. Somebody say, not me. I will not sell out for my fellowship with God. That was a big difference between Saul and David. Saul, also king, but he compromised and lost fellowship with God. King David also blew it, if you didn't notice, but he repented. This is what the scripture is about. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood, somebody say the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. All sin cleanses us from all sin. That's the gift as well. Somebody say, I have no excuse to not be in fellowship with my father or my brothers and sisters because of that blood. I will always, 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 if and when I blow it somewhere, I will repent and I will receive the light of God. And I will shine yet brighter. Somebody say, I will shine even more in Jesus' name. Let's stand on our feet this morning. And we've got a party and lunch. But let's have a prayer right now. Let's make this a prayer of dedication. Hallelujah. Somebody just say, Father God, I dedicate my life to you. I dedicate my life to serving you. I dedicate my life to being a person of your word, a person of faith, a person of the truth, a person that lives for you every day. I dedicate my life to be there, to meet with you every day. And I will shine for you, Lord, in this dark world and point somebody else to Jesus Christ. And maybe you're here and you're listening to this message later and you're like, you know what, Pastor Steve? I just need to dedicate my life to Jesus. I've never done it before at all. Or maybe you've been away from God and you're like, you know what? I need to get relit. Just pray this after me and we'll all pray it with you. Just say, Heavenly Father, I receive the gift of Jesus Christ and the blood that he shed for me to cleanse me of every sin. I acknowledge my sin before you. I repent of it. And I receive my salvation. I receive the gift of eternal life in Christ Jesus. And from now on, Heavenly Father, I dedicate my life to live for you, to serve you, to worship you, to walk with you all the days of my life, starting now. In Jesus' mighty name. If you prayed that prayer, we rejoice with you. The angels of God are rejoicing. This is why Jesus came, to save, to save. Somebody say, I'm saved. Hallelujah. And we'll give you all the praise and glory, Lord, in Jesus' name. Somebody say, amen.